Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
And tonight on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we have a very special guest I'll be talking to in a moment, and that is one of the directors and producers and creators of Dark Souls, a very new Norwegian thriller horror movie. And I'll be talking to César Ducasse, one of the creators of that Norwegian-French production, which is doing the festival rounds at the moment. It's also coming to Melbourne very soon from the 20th of August. And the Underground, Melbourne Underground Film Festival here for the year. And welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam, César.
Hi.
Hi. Now, getting back to looking at your film, just for our listeners, without any spoilers, can you just give us a brief summary of what Dark Souls is all about?
Yeah, so Dark Souls, which is Mørke Sjeler in the original title, it's a horrific thriller about an evil contamination and the darkness that lives around us. The film starts off as a slasher, like Friday the 13th, for example, like Jason Voorhees. It starts with a killer in orange suit that drill a teenage girl in the head. So it looks pretty straightforward in the beginning, but the film quickly evolves into something else. And we understand that the victims do not die, but are left in some kind of vegetative state, and they have some kind of cancer. And as the movie evolves, we follow the father of one of those victims. He's a music teacher, and he wants to make his own justice. And without spoiling too much, the disease will spread more and more as the story unfolds. And let's say that's something to do with an oil company in the end.
Yes, I was looking at some of the images online, and this oil everywhere coming out, exuding out of the bodies of the victims, which looked amazing. So instead of blood and gore, it's oily mass, which is definitely different.
Yeah, now, yeah, we wanted to make a film about some kind of contamination by some kind of evil, and we choose to portray with oil. Because for several reasons, and the fact that we in Norway, we thought it was interesting. But the film is we don't take ourselves too seriously for some reason. There's a dose of irony in the film, so it's not very.
Okay, so a bit of dark humor, literally, in there.
Yeah. Dark humor. Yeah. I'm sorry about my English.
Oh no, it's excellent.
We tried the thing we really wanted is that when you watch the film, you don't feel bored. So we tried to mix some kind of some cliché of the genre, fantastic and horror films, so that you never know where the film is going. We've had a lot of influences. Like we really like Kiyoshi Kurosawa, the Japanese director.
Ah, yes.
Who also use there's always a black disease coming in his films, and it's always about darkness. And we also really like David Cronenberg, of course, his first film. So we've got some influences that we tried to hide, but that is, I think, visible in the film.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially when you see one of the characters, she's crawling through the dark mass in a hallway, and it reminded me very much of the Japanese horror type of genre style, you know, the blackness sort of seeping into everything, like this dark sort of energy, you know, pretty scary. Some of those films, like the original Grudge films, spooky, without a lot of special effects. It's not really required.
Also, we had a pretty tight budget, and since we shot everything in film, 16mm.
Okay.
So we didn't have very much space, very complicated special effects, so...
Okay, and that's sort of the thing we're looking at in these two episodes. What we're doing on Sci-Fi and Squeam at the moment is we're looking at local filmmakers, Australian in particular, and how they get their inspiration to put the house on the market, literally, and make these films all handmade, made locally on a shoestring budget. And I guess I'm not including you as shoestring budget, but from what I've read about the background to Dark Souls, you're like a team that definitely putting themselves into your productions, and at a very good rate of cost, very little special effects, but still making something that looks genuinely, you know, scary and can hold up.
Well, that's when we started the shooting in June 2007. And we ended the shooting in 2010, like in beginning of 2010. So
wow,
it was a very, very long process.
Very long.
And that's because we didn't have enough money to make a proper shooting in 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So we just shot 1-2 weeks, and then we earned money by working as I work as an editor in Norway. So I made money, and then I used that money I injected the money in the film so that we could buy some films and continue the shooting. And thanks to the actors who were not paid, we managed to make the film from A to Z. So it doesn't look there's some shot between one shot and another that there was like 1 year or 1 year and a half.
Right.
And,
wow.
And of course we try to have the same haircut and the same light and the same so it's
continuity nightmare.
Exactly. And especially that our team was quite small, so we had to do everything ourselves. And I mean everything, really. It was interesting in a way that we had control. We had 100% of the control upon the film. So
Well, I guess that is definitely the pro against the cons of what you're doing, because you do have that control, artistic control, while you are, you know, making these smaller films. But I've just noticed, you know, from the festivals that Dark Souls has been to, and there's a lot of festivals.
Yeah, in the beginning, because you know, when you work so much on a project, in the end, you're not sure about whether it's going to work out or not, and you're not sure if people will like it or not. Everything becomes blurred. And recently, we were in a festival in Sao Paulo where we were competing with five or six films, and in those five and six films there was a Survival of the Dead by George Romero, another film called The Crazies, which is a quite big budget. And we thought, well, it's great that we can compete with those films, but of course we have absolutely no chance to win anything.
But you have been winning.
We won a prize, so that was really amazing. Mm. We didn't believe our ears. It was really cool.
Sorry. Hmm? Was that the Manhattan International Film Festival? You won Best Horror Audience Award. I noticed that.
Yeah, and we also won the best audience in Manhattan.
And others?
As I said, we won in Sao Paulo, and won a prize in England as well. We will soon be in the Cambridge Film Festival in England and in Edmonton Film Festival in Canada.
Oh, excellent. Cool.
But we are, of course, we really hope that we could, that our film will be selected festival like specialized in horror, like Sitges or Gérard Mer in France. But those festivals are really, really big, and I hope we'll be selected, but going to be difficult.
Are they very competitive, those ones? They're the hardest ones?
Very, very competitive, yeah. Mm,
okay. But it looks like you're on the way, and I guess the momentum's there. You're getting all this, you know, getting good attention and smaller festivals onto medium-sized ones. So is that how it works? And then word of mouth?
As I said, it's the beginning of, we are in the beginning of the process, and like the festival things, we have to take care about all the PR on the film and the website and the trailers, and in the same time, the film itself is not completely finished. We need to master some of the picture, and there's some sound that will be, some music that will be different as well. So yes, there's a lot to do, and probably only the beginning.
So it's still evolving, basically. Is that what normally happens, or was that how you guys work with your films in particular?
No, normally it's much more like that. There's the shooting, and then post-production, and then PR, and then the film is released. But the fact that we are completely independent on that film makes it more like much longer process, because like the other director, Mathieu, Maria, who is the co-producer, and I, we have been working on the film, on directing the film, and then we have edited the film, and then we are taking care of the festival. And so since we are only three to do all this, we have to do everything one at a time. It makes everything longer. Normally it goes it's shorter.
I guess normally you have a bigger team, or, you know, the bigger companies.
Yeah, you pay people to do stuff that normally you won't do.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting.
But then again, it's interesting because we really see how it works during the filmmaking process from the beginning to the end. So we know how it is, like the festival thing. I made a film before, a feature film, a science fiction feature film, which was much more, which was made on a normal basis. It was shot and then released right away. And I didn't do all this thing with festival and PR and everything. So it's a very new experience. And it's very interesting because it makes everything you understand everything, and there's literally thousand little things to that is necessary to make a film.
Not just the shooting
and there's a lot of very small details, like a word in the film, and you have you really have to think about everything, and it's a very long process. But I hope in the end it will be rewarding.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing how multi-skilled you and the others of Addict Films are. Just looking at your resumes online, that's obviously been very important in this whole process, particularly for Dark Souls. I mean, you just sound like a really good crew of people. Looking at your own background, you've done television, as you said, documentaries, music videos, commercials, and short films. And was it Lies, Inc.? Is that the one you were talking about earlier?
Yes.
The feature film from 2004. Very, that's multitasking in your career so far to date, isn't it? It's incredible.
That's our passion. I think really love what we are doing, and I hope that one day someone will come and that we will be able to be paid for what we are doing, because right now we just work as editor for other companies, our filmmaking is not yet. It's very difficult to earn your life as a filmmaker, and I think most of the filmmakers that here disagree, because it's a very difficult market. Of course, if you're Steven Spielberg, you will earn a lot of money, but there's not that much people in this case. There are quite a lot of filmmakers.
Yeah. Now, stylistically,
I've read an article interview about David Cronenberg, and you would think David Cronenberg, he can make whatever he wants, but he said that even today, and he made quite a lot of film. Even today, it's a struggle every time he wants to make a film. So I guess it's a great job. It's a very entertaining to make a film and to follow the process. But it's not very. You don't get a lot of money. So you have to have another job at least in the beginning on the side
and keep going with your passion.
And keep going.
Keep going with that. I was going to say, actually, stylistically, do you think that your film has a Scandinavian or Northern European sensibility compared to other horror films? Do you think, for example, Let the Right One In, were you inspired at all by that film or influenced in any way?
Not that one, because I've seen that one very recently. I think it's a masterpiece, by the way.
Yes.
I really loved it. We were not inspired by that film, by Let the Right One In. We were more inspired. We were not inspired by Northern horror. Recently, there has been quite a lot of horror film in Norway, like Fritvilt, which is called Prey in English, and Hovdyr, which is Manhunt, some others, and Dead Snow.
I've heard of the Manhunt one, but it's hard to see these films here in Australia because of the lack of. There's no real horror sort of festivals on a scale like they have with the normal international film festivals, unfortunately, so it is hard to get them.
Those films are very interesting because it's great to see a small country like Norway making those kind of films. But those are more like slashers or some kind of parodic films about slashers. And we were more inspired by the horror film from the 80s, 70s, 80s. No, there's no quick editing, there's no effect. It's quite slow pace. So our inspiration comes more from the 80s than what they are doing right now in northern countries or in Europe.
And what about any new projects? I mean, obviously you sound like you're still very much wrapped up in Dark Souls and you're still developing it or completing it. Do you have other projects that you're looking at?
Yeah, I have a couple of other projects, but of course difficult because we still have to work on that film, and I really want to move on, but we have to follow the film until the end, you know. So we have some ideas, and I wrote some scripts for a short film, science fiction short film, and as well a new feature film that I would like to make in Norway, which will be very different. It's it's not a horror film. It's not. It's more like, I don't want to say too much.
No, that's fine. Don't let the cat out of the bag necessarily. That's fine. The mystery's good because inspiring to hear you people, you know, you're doing what you're doing. Like the filmmakers we've been talking to on Sci-Fi and Scream in last week's episode, they're sort of doing the same sort of thing. So on a very small budget, you know. Yeah, you've got to have that passion.
But then again, I think if you know in what kind of trouble you're getting into in the beginning, I think
you'd give it up.
You think twice. When we started the film, we thought, yeah, in 2 years maybe it's finished, and we're still there. Three, maybe it's going to be finished 4 years after. And we have been through a lot of problems in the shooting. We had cops on the shooting that tried to stop us, and we had a lot of trouble. So I think you really have to get to have a passion for it to get involved in a so long project, and you really have to love the story.
Definitely. And your relationships with the other members of Addict Films, has that been tough on those friendships, or has it made them, you know, cliche, has it made them stronger?
Well, I would say we quite right now we are at the same state as we were in the beginning. Didn't change that much. We are still fighting all the time on the shooting. We always did before, so yeah.
Keeps you going. Excellent. Well, I want to say thank you so much for talking to us this evening.
If thank
there's
you.
Anything else you want to say before we go?
You can, if you want to learn a little bit more about our film, there's a website. Mm-hmm. It's called darksoulsmovie.com.
Yep. Darksoulsmovie.com.
Mm-hmm. What?
Sorry, I'm just repeating it. Darksoulsmovie.com.
Darksoulsmovie.com, yeah.
Great.
And the film, I think, will play at the Melbourne Underground Film Festival the 25th of August. At 7.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely be going along to see it finally on the big screen. That'll be great. And keep away from those drill bits. The drill scene looks amazing. Great. All right. Hey, thanks so much for coming on and talk to us on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.